This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. So before we went to break, we'll get back to you calls here in just a second. I teased, BT, that we'll do a little scale here of two things that I want to judge on this scale as it pertains to the New York Knicks. Last year, what would you say on a scale of 1 to 10 their talent level was?
I would say, scale of 1 to 10, I would say about an 8.
Wow, okay. I mean, a little higher than me. I'd say 7-ish. I would say the Knicks had 7. What would you say the chemistry was?
10.
Right. So now this year, let's ask, what would it be? Give me the talent first this year for the Knicks.
Yep. I would say that the talent is higher. I would probably go up a half a tick, 8.5. Maybe trending more toward 9. I'll give you that.
I mean, I'd hope. Hey, dude, come on.
No, but Sal,
I'm going from a 7 last year to a 10. Now,
okay. If the talent's so good, how come they're 3-4?
But it's 7.
It's a bad
games. Teams. What do you mean bad teams? They lost to the Celtics and the undefeated Cavs.
The Hawks stink. The Rockets.
BT, they have four losses. They lost to the Celtics, who were the best team in the league, and the undefeated Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yep.
They lost to the Rockets, who were 5-3, and then they lost to the Hawks. All right. You want to say two bad losses? You can't say they lost to bad teams.
All right, so go ahead. So let's finish the talent versus chemistry thing.
Now, chemistry this year I would have at like a 2 right now.
Okay.
So if I'm going from what I thought was, a 7, roughly a 7 talent last year, to a 10 talent this year. And by the way, maybe because no team is going to be a 10 with the talent, but just on my scale, even if you want to say 9, 9.5, and maybe last year 6.5, 7, whatever, the disparity, you understand. And the chemistry last year was a 10 for the Knicks. Now I'd say it's a 2 right now. And I think that's probably the biggest issue. The talent is much better, but my point is that I would trade off and have the higher talent and hope that that chemistry number creeps up to, let's say, a 6. And then with the talent of a 9 or a 10 and a chemistry with a 6, maybe a 7, now you have a championship team as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that could make sense, but I don't see it that way because I think basketball is very unique. I mean, if you have, what would I rather have for the Yanks and Mets, even though the Mets had a lot of chemistry a year ago, I'd rather take more talent in baseball because, it's more of an, it's a team sport. It's really an individual sport.
So do it with the Mets because I think that's a fun one to do. So,
I think the Mets talent last year was probably about a 6.5 or a 7.
Right.
And I think the chemistry was a 10.
Yeah, exactly. But but they couldn't win a championship.
But I understand. I understand that. But the chemistry is what elevated them, in my opinion, more so than the talent.
Absolutely. But ultimately, to get over that hump, I felt the Knicks would have needed last year, whether it's to beat the Pacers or the Celtics, they had to up the talent. So if you up the talent level, in the Mets' case, go from a 6 to hopefully a 9 or a 10 this year, whatever it may be, doesn't mean it's going to win out. But you hope to have, if you were to grade the Yankees, you'd say the talent was a 9 or 10 last year?
I wouldn't say a 10. Okay. I'd say,
Soto or all time is why I said that. But
I get that. All things considered, really, running deficiencies, fielding 8.5-ish, 8.75.
Okay, and where would you say the chemistry was at?
They seem to have pretty good chemistry. I'd say it's about an 8.5 or so. Pretty good.
Yeah, I would say probably lower. But the point is the Mets were a better baseball team with a less talented team in many regards. And you could even say forget about just the Mets versus Yankees.
Yeah.
But at some point, you need that talent to get you over them. So I'll sacrifice some of the chemistry and the fun stuff.
Yep.
for more talent. And I would do the same thing with the Knicks this year. I loved last year's team. They took them almost as far as they could go. I feel like they maxed out. Maybe beating the Pacers if they were healthy would have been maxed out. This year, with the talent now, maxing out is winning a title. Mm-hmm. So now you got to find a way to get that chemistry up, sure. But I'd rather have the talent being at a 9 or a 10 or whatever you want to grade.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm usually going to bet on talent. But in a sport of like basketball, where chemistry is paramount, I don't place as much emphasis on that. Now, I do think that, I'm going to give you this. I think that if the Knicks ran it back entirely the same this year, I think that their ceiling would have been a tick lower than this ceiling.
Right.
Okay, so I'm giving you that.
Right.
But I'm also not conceding, although I hope so, but I'm not convinced that they gel to a point that enables the talent to take the next step. I'm not debating. Like, of course, Towns is a much better individual player, but the two guys that they really brought in, and I don't mean like the bench piece or whatever, or Kolick, who they drafted, but Bridges and Towns are definitely good talents, but what they're missing in toughness is important. And it's not, I'm not saying he's soft, but it's a different tough. Like, I'm not just, you know, like, it's not about,
get it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, no, I do. And we're going to see how it plays out. Like, one way or another, we'll get the result. Like, just like we did with the Mets, where we were talking about, okay, well, can this OMG Mets, can this Grimace stuff, the chemistry, will that overtake the team of destiny? Will that overtake the more talented teams? And obviously, they ran into a wall. It didn't. For whatever reason, it wasn't enough. Last year, we said that with the Knicks. Okay. Is this group, this toughness, the way they play as a team, is that going to be enough to overcome the disparity in talent? Ultimately, it wasn't, for a variety of reasons, but ultimately, it wasn't. So I'd rather have the more talent and figure out the other stuff as opposed to perfecting the other stuff and then wondering if your talent, you know, short.
Okay, so if I'm a little early to the party for some.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Then, at what point do you start to assess this team and say, like, how many games do you need?
I think it's a good question. I mean, we'll have to see how it plays out. I'm not putting necessarily a number on it. I think we'll know when we know. And by the way, you could insert the Jets in this conversation as well. You know, with the talent going in, and it's not just about chemistry. There's also the intangibles, and, you know, coaching is a different element as well. You know, if it were just talent with the Knicks and they didn't have a coach I believed in, maybe I'd feel differently. If I didn't think that the talent complemented each other, maybe I'd feel differently. So there's many layers to it. But for me, it's way early with all the new pieces. And I'm not seeing enough bad signs to where I'd be alarmed just yet. But I can't give you a number. But it's going to be probably in the 30s, honestly.
Okay.
And maybe even beyond that. Chris is calling from Rochester. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how are we doing today?
Good. What's up, Chris?
Chris.
So listen, talking about the Knicks, I watched every game so far this year, and there's definitely something missing.
Yep.
You know, Hartenstein and DiVincenzo, man, they cut your throat to win the game. You know what I'm saying? They do whatever it takes, and you just don't see it. And they're getting killed on the boards. Offensive rebounding is like non-existent. You know, and that's going to kill them through the year.
Well, but Chris, I just want to illuminate that point because, yeah, Karl Anthony Towns is getting rebounds. So you look at the numbers, you had 43 and 13 or 43 and 15. He had some rebounds last night. But the reason why, now Mitch is definitely a variable here, but I'm not banking on him because you never can. The reason why the Knicks are doing nothing on the offensive backboard is because nobody's in the paint. And Hartenstein was in the paint, and Karl Anthony Towns, while an incredibly good player and skilled, he is more comfortable outside of the paint.
He can play in the paint, though. But one of the things that I loved about getting a big that can stretch the floor, and there is no better big that can stretch the floor than Karl Anthony Towns, is that that's the way of the game. Like, that's the way the game has evolved. Now, look, when Mitch comes back, is it going to be, are they playing Mitch together with Karl Anthony Towns and are going to have Mitch underneath? And again, he's not an offensive threat whatsoever. And I didn't think Hartenstein was, but at least he was somewhat serviceable. I know we disagreed on that. Hartenstein's not an offensive player, but could score the basketball, in desperation if nobody's around him near the basket. Well, no offensive game, but still. And right now, you know, Mitch is not going to be able to do that at all. So they're going to score in different ways. Brunson can attack the paint. I would hope that Bridges at some point is going to attack the paint. And they need that more, but it's just seven games. I mean, I would assume if we know that, BT, don't you think Tibbs knows that?
I think he does, but I don't know what you could do to change it. I mean, you're not going to suddenly say, hey, Carl, you know, let's get away from your greatest strength, which is, you know, obviously, offensive versatility and a really a great touch from the outside, and say, you know, park yourself in the middle like a young Patrick Ewing.
But they do play him in the post. I mean, much more than I thought early on.
Well, they play him in the post. They run the offense at times through him in the post, but he's never. And again, there are very few players who are camped in the post. It's not like Kevin McHale or Moses Malone. Yeah. Understood. No, I know the game's evolved. But I think if you were to do that to Carl and maybe emphasize a little more pain presence offensively, then I think you're taking away from what he's probably best at offensively, which either is a push or maybe a loss when you actually evaluate the, you know, like his entire package. So I don't know, man. I'm a big believer in the eye test. And yes, there are stats that back this up. The Knicks are toward the bottom in offensive rebounds. They average like 9 per game. And they've lost a couple of 1 or 2 possession games. Last year, they were among the best, and they won a lot of tight games. I do think there's a connection there.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
But also, they're without Achiuwa and Mitchell Robinson.
True.
Who are two of their better rebounders. Like, I mean, that's just a fact. Now, you could say, well, you're relying on Robinson. Yeah, okay, well, that's a different argument. Guy's got to stay healthy, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and that's part of the problem. But those two guys are out. Achiuwa should be coming back at some point soon.
Yeah, yeah, and I like Achiuwa. And, you know, a lot of people didn't really, I don't think, and listen, I really, to be fair, I only really followed Achiuwa's career because his brother played for St. John's about, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, whatever it was, so God's gift. And, you know, I knew the name, and obviously I followed his brother's path, but so maybe I was a little more intimately aware of what he had skill-wise, and I thought he was a good pickup by the Knicks, and he was looked, you know, as a throw-in. I thought he would really help them, and he did. And when he was getting big minutes, he was efficient, he was tough, he was a defender, he was a rebounder, so I like him. So I'm not trying to minimize his return. I'm not going to say his name. The other guy who was a big guy last year who's gone because I'm going to turn the page.
Yeah.
They miss him. They miss so many people slept. I don't mean at the end of the year when everybody knew, wow, Hartenstein, I'm going to say his name here. Hartenstein's good. But there was a big chunk of the season where people just didn't value what he was doing. And they don't even Mitch, who does different things than Hartenstein does and did. Nobody, including Achiuwa and Karl Anthony Towns, even if they kind of retweak or redefine who he is and how they play him, nobody's bringing what Hartenstein brought to the. He was the best passer on the team. Forget about being a great rebounder offensively. He never missed a layup. They miss him, man.
BT.
Miss him.
Yeah, I get it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.